Hello and welcome to Reliance's podcast. We hope that the message encourages your heart today. If you'd like to join us in person, we meet weekly on Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11 o'clock a.m. And if you want to find out more about Reliance, come check us out online.
I live in Hillsboro. It's about 60 miles from here, north of here. If you guys don't know where Hillsboro is, it's in a little town where Tabor College is, and I partner with my kingdom partner. If you guys don't know me, maybe some of you guys know Matthew Pinner, and we run a little organization called Kingdom Equip. And at Kingdom Equip, our heart's desire really is just two simple things, and the reason I kind of want to share it is because I think it's the two simple desires of God. And how many of you guys in the room know that life with God, it's not always easy, but it is very simple. It's my favorite thing about God, that the one who holds all knowledge, created knowledge, and whose foolishness in comparison to our wisdom is wise, is a simple God who creates a simple walk. You can't create a God like that in your own imagination. It's the words of Jesus, right, in Matthew 11, when he said, "I praise you, Father, for you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned, but what have you done? You've revealed them to little children." Not only are they accessible to little children, but the ways of God actually make the most sense to children. And so one of the wisest things that we can do is set aside our maturity and our need for an increased knowledge of information so that we can walk with God like a little simple child. Amen. Where our heart at Kingdom Equip is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all of our strength. And I don't know about you guys, but do you ever find it hard to love God? Is that ever difficult for you? Maybe I'm the only one in the room that ever finds it difficult to love God. And see this simple commandment that God gave, that Jesus said, actually, in fact, of 619 commandments, we can sum all of that up into one little thing. Let's make this real simple for you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then he added the seconds like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Do you guys ever find it difficult to love your neighbor? Which, by the way, your neighbor is not the person that you're the most cordial to. Jesus made it pretty clear in Matthew 5 that your neighbor is your enemy, because we were once God's enemy and he treated us as if we were his neighbor. Okay, so are these difficult for us? They're difficult for me at times. And what I discovered was it was only difficult to love God because I was trying to love God without God. My favorite thing about God is that I don't do anything without God. And me, I like to strive. God, he loves surrender. And so what I discovered is I had to set aside striving for God in order to surrender to God so that I could experience and encounter the love of God and simply give back to God what I received from him. And so I'm just asking you guys this morning, is loving God hard for you in this season? Do you hear a commandment like that and think, man, I'm not sure that's actually being fulfilled in my life? I just have really, really good news this morning. You don't have to strive to love God. Stop striving and do less so that you can surrender and receive more. It's what God has for you. It's so simple and it's so easy, yet it's so in conflict with the way that we think and that we often live that it becomes the thing that we're most distant from. What I tell people often is life with God is this: surrender. And then after you've surrendered and you ask the question, what should I do next? Surrender. And then after you've done that and you ask the question, what should I do after that? Surrender again. And then when you're tempted to ask God, what should I do now? I've surrendered enough, right? Surrender again. And just live in the depths of surrender and see how far you can go in surrender to self. And I promise the lower you go in surrender to self, the higher you'll go in encountering and experiencing the life of Christ. Amen. Are you guys awake? Yeah. Is this good news for us this morning? The love of God. What I love about it is that it's relational. It's not informational. Amen. It's relational. It's not informational. The love of God is not a theory. I love God because he first loved me is not a verse that I read. It's a reality that I experience. Is that good news? The thing I love most about God's love is it's like it's a doorway of revelation into relationship. I love to talk about relational revelation. And so when you experience the love of God, I think one of the first things you experience is Almighty Creator of the cosmos becomes Abba and Daddy of my life. How awesome is that? That the Almighty becomes the Abba. And I'm not talking about the Abba of 500 people or however many are in the room. I'm talking about the Abba of Jesse. Like, how could it be of 8 billion people on planet Earth that he intimately knows me, he sees me, and he's hyper-concerned with me right now? Maybe just talking a few little words. Do you guys know that the Earth, in regards to our solar system, that Jupiter's the biggest planet and 13,000 Earths could fit inside of Jupiter? And here I am taking up, like, you know, 1 square foot by 1 square foot. I can fit on one of these carpet tiles. Like, I'm nothing of nothing, yet I'm everything to the one who made it all. Come on, that's so good. This is what David said in Psalms 8. You know, I consider the work of your hands. I look at the stars in the sky and the moon, and I think to myself, what is mankind that you're mindful of them? Are human beings that you've cared for them? And not only do you care for them and you protect them, but you've made them a little lower than the angels. And praise the Lord, we're in the new covenant where we've actually ascended with the one who's above the angels and made us a little lower than the angels and crowned us with glory and honor. David's perplexed. I'm nothing of nothing, yet I'm everything to you. How could this be, God? This is awesome. This is our Abba. This is our daddy. This is the lover of our life. But the thing that he's releasing, I believe, in a generation of relational revelation, is not just Abba. There's friend, there's king, but then there's one thing that's going to be expressed in a church, in a body, before Jesus returns. And it's going to be a love that children do not know. Only brides do. And it's going to be a revelation that this God has become a human. He is not like us. Yahweh is not human until suddenly he was. And that man, God-man in the flesh, resurrected body in a real body. There was no human body on a throne in heaven before the life of Jesus through the womb of Mary, crucified, killed, risen, and ascended. There was no resurrected body. Heaven was looking around saying, who's the man? And God said, I am. I'll become one. And that man's going to be our eternal husband. There's no man in here. You're going to have to set aside the identity of bridegroom, because you and I, we're going to be a bride forever. And there's a love that a bride touches in relationship with a bridegroom that's incomparable to any other love you can experience. And I don't know if you guys know this, but we aren't married yet. We're engaged. We are engaged at the cross, and we're going to be consummated at the wedding supper. There's something that an engaged bride will do that a married bride won't. An engaged bride, you ask her about what's going in life, it's going to take 5 minutes for her to start talking about her wedding day, the preparations she's making, the amount of time that she's working out that she doesn't normally work out, the dress that she's looking for. She's fixated on one thing, and it's no obligation. It's the wedding day. She's purifying and cleansing herself to be pure for her bridegroom. I wonder if we got a revelation in our own heart that I was engaged at the cross and I've yet to been married because the return of the Lord has yet to come to pass. What would start happening in my life? I think Hebrews 12 would start happening. It would be no sacrifice anymore to throw off all the things that hinder and the sin that so easily entangles, to run the race that God's marked out for me. How many of you know that setting aside the sin is the milk, but letting go of the permissible pleasures of the world is the meat? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin. There's an invitation to let go of sin so that you can live in the Son. And then there's an invitation to consecrate yourself to your King and say, there's many permissible pleasures, but they pale in comparison to your presence. And so I'm going to throw off all the permissible things that hinder so that I can take hold of the better portion that dwells in heaven, that's been made accessible here on earth in my heart. This is amazing, guys. This is awesome, right? This is the gospel, correct? Do you guys know Derek Prince? Derek Prince, pastor, preacher, 70s, 80s, he said we have to remind ourselves of the gospel daily. We have to remind ourselves to the gospel daily, or we'll add to the gospel and we won't dwell in the richness of what Christ has made accessible to you and I. This is awesome. And Jesus is a real man who's going to ride on a real horse. He really is called faithful and true. He really has a specific ethnicity. He's a Jew. He's not a Caucasian. He is a Jewish man who's going to pierce the eastern gate of the sky, and he's going to return to a real city. I have good news. The end goal of your life is not for you to get to heaven. The desire of God's heart is for heaven to get to earth, and he is going to get here and a real man. Isn't that good news? There's a white horse that is going to pierce the eastern gate of the sky, and I'm believing that there's a generation that's being prepared that doesn't just say, we'd love to have you back, that says the words of Revelation 22:17, the Spirit has so encapsulated my heart with the beauty of this man that I say one thing, come, Lord Jesus, come. And the Father is not going to release the Son for a marriage supper of a bride who's bored and disconcerned with his return. The Father is going to give the Son a bride that's hungry and longing for her eternal bridegroom king to return, and demonstrates it in action. Amen? Amen? This is really good. It's what the Lord wants to do in our heart. It's my heart's desire. I think it's the Bible's heart's desire in the way that it's expressed, and I know it's the heart of Jesus. It's what he beats for. And, you know, in terms of this deal of loving God and sometimes feeling incapable to love God, one thing that I've learned in life that's the best is the anointing. Do you guys know about the anointing in this room, the anointing of the Spirit of God? Do you guys know that Jesus set aside the right to divinity so that he could live empowered by the divinity? Philippians 2 said he didn't consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He set aside the right so that he could live empowered by the divinity, so that he could show you and I the way God always intended us to walk. How could it be that you and I think we could serve God without God when God himself surrendered to God to walk as a human on earth? And this is just so perplexing to me, but I'm the first one that often does it. And you know, when Jesus comes on the scene, I think you guys at least have to question and ask, you know, what happened at John's baptism? What happened at the baptism of John that was so unique? Because Jesus had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at birth. But what was it that happened at John's baptism? You see, Jesus came up to this baptism that everybody knew was a baptism of repentance, correct? And there was one person on planet Earth, and it's the thing I love most about Jesus, is he started and he ended his ministry doing things that he wasn't qualified for, but everybody else was. He went into water that was for baptism of repentance when he himself was sinless, and he went on a cross that everybody else deserved except him. He started and ended, and both of those were pathways into him being endued with power. And so he went to the baptism, and the law, thank God Jesus didn't live under the law, because the law would have said you're disqualified from it. But when you don't live underneath the law, but you live with the Father's voice, suddenly you start to do things that are contrary to the law, but are in agreement with the heart of God. They won't violate the law, it just extends obedience past the law. And this was the life of Jesus. And so he went to that baptism, and John said to him, you need to baptize me. And Jesus says, no, I don't need to baptize you. You need to baptize me. And Jesus gets baptized. And you remember what happens? The heavens part, and there's a voice that thunders. And what does the voice say? This is my son whom I love, and with him I'm well pleased. I love this about Jesus, and I think it's so crucial for you and me. And it's this. Do you guys know the affection of the Father for your life? Because if you don't know the affection that the Father has for you, you'll go source it from those around you. And guess what you'll end up being? You'll be a vessel that's conformed into everybody else's opinions rather than a vessel that's transformed by the affection of the Father. Me first, okay? I do this all the time. It's the thing that I wrestle with the most. But Jesus, he was secure in his sonship. And when he gets thrusted out into the desert, what's the first thing that the enemy tests him with? He says, if you are who the Father says you are, then prove it to me. If you are the Son of God, and guess what Jesus does? He never moves out of a spirit of performance because he's secure in sonship. if you and I are not secure in sonship, we will move out of a spirit of performance and we'll think that we're obeying God when actually we're just trying to please and prove ourselves to everybody around us. I promise you, this life will enslave us. The heavens part open, and what happens? A dove descends from heaven on Jesus. And that same word that's used to describe how the heavens were parted over Jesus with the dove is the same word that's described how the veil was torn in the temple when Jesus was crucified. The dove comes on him, and what does Jesus say in Luke 4:18? He comes out of the wilderness and he says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me." Are you anointed? The same heavens that were open over Jesus at the baptism of John are the same heavens that were opened over you and I at the crucifixion at the cross. Are you living by the power of the anointing? Or are you living out of the efforts of your talents and your abilities in the flesh? Are you trying to serve God without God? You see, when we focus on mission without being still enough and for long enough to wait on the anointing, we'll do things with pure motives that God never asked us to do. This sound familiar? You know, when God was leading the Israelites out of Egypt, he said in Deuteronomy 33, listen here, this is like so sweet, and I'm going to connect it to Mary. So just wait, this is an awesome connection, I think. It's a Bible connection. Okay, they're being led out of Egypt, and they're in the wilderness 40 years. Now they're about to go into the promise. And as they head into the promise in Deuteronomy 33:3, it says, Surely are your holy ones who you hold in all of your hands, that you love them deeply. And then he says this, they sit at your feet and from you receive instruction. See, they don't try to work for God without God. They love to sit in the hand of God so that they can discover the heart and the mind of God. And guess what ends up happening with this correlation between Martha and Mary in Luke 10? Verse 39, Martha had a sister whose name was Mary, and guess what she did? Verbatim, sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he said. And suddenly she had a wisdom that was contrary to the world but was in agreement with the heart of Jesus. Martha gets offended because she's a fool. But Mary's wise because she sat long enough to hear what he said. See, the anointing at first gives us wisdom to see before it gives us power to do. If we focus on mission without sitting long enough to receive anointing, we'll do many things for God that he never asked of us, and therefore they're going to be without the power of God, and we're going to be left disappointed and burned out. If you guys in this room are wondering, why is it that I'm serving God with such zeal and I'm focused on mission, but yet I feel disappointed and burnt out, I'm telling you, there's a good invitation for you this morning. Do less so that you can sit still and listen more. Seriously, it's his good invitation. He's not going to be disappointed. In fact, it's going to bring him great pleasure, because so often we do mission and we distance ourselves from him rather than simply come and sit with him. And we say, I'm going to sit until you stand up and walk, because I'm not here to lead you. You're here to lead me. And so when we get the anointing to see and we're still for long enough to actually hear what he has to say and to see what he's doing, guess what he gives us? Whenever God speaks to you, he also provides the grace necessary to accomplish what he says. Oh, this is so good. This is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is what God has for you this morning. I don't know about you guys, but for me, I ask for the anointing like 25 times a day. I was thinking about it as I was kind of thinking, what should I say this morning? But like, I wake up at 4:30 a.m., okay, and I go work out. Before I go work out, I ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Like literally when I wake up out of bed, I just open my hands and I just say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I don't know if you guys do this, but like, Holy Spirit, I love you. Do you guys ever tell Holy Spirit you love him? Like, he's the God in you. God in you has a name. He would love that you start calling him by his name. Holy Spirit, I love you. You're so precious to me. You're so perfect. You're so close to me. And it's no sacrifice that I would surrender to you. I love you and I surrender to you, Holy Spirit. I just love you so much. The unseen servant that escorts me into the heart of Jesus and brings me into the fold of the family. I love you so much. I honor you. And then, like when I get home, I usually read my Bible and I ask for the anointing to read my Bible. And then I pray and I ask for the anointing to pray. And you know, for me at least, I just don't think it's possible for me to love my wife and my kids without the anointing of the Spirit. It just doesn't go well for me. When I forget about the anointing of the Spirit and the power of God's love, and I try to love my wife in my own love, it just is a disaster. You know, I'm just a jerk of a man who's so self-focused, and I have no ability to be like actually like deeply, deeply faithful and unconditional in my love to my wife and my kids. And so like when I wake up in the morning at 7:30 a.m. and I go put my hand on my little two-year-old daughter's back to wake her up, I'm asking for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because I literally want the anointing of the Holy Spirit to empower me to so love my little daughter that she would actually experientially have an encounter with the love of her Heavenly Father. And then like throughout the day, guys, like I know it's like so simple, but it's just so profoundly changed me that I want to invite you into it. Like as you transition every time through the day, maybe it's I'm going to a meeting. Maybe it's I'm transitioning to another task. Try this. Do you care about everything? If anything matters, doesn't everything matter? So I wonder if God cares about all these little things, and if he has grace actually prepared for me that he's simply waiting to give to me when I ask him. And so then I just simply ask him out of every transition I try to of my day, like when I go into a meeting, when I leave a meeting, when I go to the next task, I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because if not, I'm left with one thing. And sometimes it works well, but it doesn't release heaven on earth. And I need your wisdom, and I need your grace to accomplish the thing that's in front of me. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's the most precious thing that's been given to us from heaven. Do you remember Jesus in John 16, what he said to his disciple? It's for your good that I'm going away. I think he meant what he said. Do you guys? Like, I mean, I don't know if you ever put yourself in the disciple's position and just ask the question, if I was there with him and the Messiah of the world was standing in front of me that my ancestors had longed to see for generations, would it be good news that he leaves me? Like, what kind of friend would Jesus have been? Have you ever thought about that? Like, just perfect. He was so sensitive and kind. He was so tender, but yet he was so powerful. You know, he was so authoritative, yet he was such a servant. Like, what kind of friend is like that? I wonder the intimate conversations, you know, that Thomas would have had with Jesus or Peter when he just, like, sat there and it was like you would expect that Jesus would just spew information, yet he asked questions about their heart. Isn't that like Jesus? It's like, we just think he wants to spew information. So he's like, actually, I just want to come and care for your heart. And he said to them, it's for your good that I go away. Because the same relationship I have with the Father, I want you to have. And if you knew this, you'd rejoice that I'm going to away. Because the Father and relationship with him, it's even greater than relationship with me. And he says, I'm going to send the one that gives me relationship with the Father to you. So this, I didn't, you know, do this in the first service, so I don't really know how to end this thing. It's 10:51. What is it? 10:55 we're going to end? You said ish?
Couple minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Good. What do I want to say? We're all friends, right? Just a little big meeting. I think that the invitation Jesus would have is to say, I don't condemn your lukewarmness. I invite you into an extension of my heart so that you can have deep intimacy. I think there's some of you in this room that need to hear that. Number one, that you're not condemned for your lukewarmness. Jesse's has the greatest tendency of anybody to be lukewarm in love, okay? And he's like, don't be condemned. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, amen? Why? Because before the Father, Christ isn't condemned. And when you stand before the Father, you stand in the shoes of Christ. And therefore, the same evaluation that the Father gives to the Son, he gives to you. This is really good news. There's just an invitation to draw near today. You don't need to clean up your behavior. I promise you, the anointing will clean up your behavior. Don't clean up your behavior. Approach through the blood. Approach through the affection. Don't evaluate your own behavior. Look to the Son. There's an invitation for you guys today. And there is always more in the kingdom of God. Maybe some of you are like, I'm zealous and I'm passionate. You know? There's more. There is more for you in the Holy Spirit than anything we thought ever imaginable. And I just hope in my life I don't just scratch the surface of encountering what God destined for me. Do you? I think many of us, it's the fear of the Lord on my life. I just scratch the surface of encountering what God desired for me in my life. I don't want to just scratch the surface of it. I want to experience the full thing. Do you guys experience the full thing? And I just feel led to ask today, you know, in this service, just kind of right now, I wonder if there's anyone in here that just says, you know, I don't have relationship with the Father. I know about God in my mind, but I don't actually have relationship with God intimately in my heart. Maybe just hone your heart in for a minute. I'm not just talking about being converted to a religion. I'm talking about being adopted into a family. Is there anybody in the room today that would just say, I haven't been adopted into the fold in the family of God? And I don't know the love of God, actually. I haven't experienced it in my life. I'm not actually asking, just to be clear, did I one time pray a little prayer? I'm asking, are you experiencing the love of God, and have you surrendered your life to his Son? Surrender's the way forward to experiencing love. And if there's anybody, this is like the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. If there's anybody in this room today that says, I don't know what it's like to be adopted into the family. I kind of know what it's maybe like to be a Christian and to be a part of a thing that we call religion, but intimate relationship, I'm not sure about that one. There's really good news. There's nothing you need to do but to surrender to him. If that's you, please don't leave this room not being right with God. Seriously, don't leave this. This isn't about you someday going to hell. This is about heaven coming to you right now. This is about you experiencing life and life to the full. And so I just want to pray for three groups of people. One, the ones that actually don't have a relationship with God. Two, the lukewarm, and three, the zealous, the passionate. To the passionate, I say, keep going, there's much, much more. To the lukewarm, I say, surrender afresh today. There's an encounter set up for you. And to those that don't have a relationship with God, I simply say, surrender. God has an invitation of intimacy for you. So could we just put our hand on our heart? Could you do that with me as we close in prayer? We say, Holy Spirit, for those of us that are in the fold, we say thank you for making your home inside of us. We say, how could it be that the glory that's was on Sinai is in me? Isn't that amazing? The glory that was on Sinai, the greatest wonder that human eyes ever saw, has come and made its home inside of me. The fire that met Moses at the bush is the fire that has made its home inside of my heart. We honor you, Holy Spirit, the anointing of heaven, Jesus, Son of God, the one who was crucified to set me free. We say we believe. We believe, Jesus. We believe, we trust you. We say we have faith in you and we love. It's no surrender. It's no sacrifice to surrender to your leadership, Jesus. It's no sacrifice to surrender to your leadership, Holy Spirit. I just pray fresh anointing for my friends today, fresh anointing for me, anointing to love you, God, an anointing to work and to do for you. We just say this morning, Jesus, we honor you. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in for today's word. We hope that it continues to encourage you and bless you as you go about your day. And until then, we will see you next Sunday. Have a great week.